Hi, welcome to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm your host, Tom Nielsen. Well, gang, hold on to your space helmets, because today we're going to be taking a short trip into the world of weird science. I don't know how many of you remember your science classes of long ago, way back in junior high or high school. I can recall one biology class where my buddies and I got into a friendly competition as to who could turn in the most creative lab reports. As for me, I put my primitive artistic talent to work, hauling out the colored pencils, pen, and ink to create very colorful illustrations of all our lab experiments. I also spiced up the reports with short excerpts from encyclopedia articles on the subjects we were investigating.
Wow.
So I guess you'd call us science nerds from a very early age. It's a pity, though, that this never turned into any sort of a serious career direction. The closest I ever got was working at Harvard University for a couple months with some real-life rocket scientists on a short-term project for NASA. It was kind of like hobnobbing with Mr. Spock and company from Star Trek. One time we even had a pizza party in the video monitor room, where they had dozens of TV displays, all showing live pictures from different satellites and space missions. My favorite was the view from Alpha Pepperoni.
Far out, man.
But that's not the kind of weird science I had in mind, folks. No, we're going to be dealing with something much stranger, much more out of this world. For example, have you ever experimented with static electricity? Yeah, that's a cool trick. One of the easiest ways to do this is by scuffing your shoes on heavy pile carpeting and then going up to somebody and giving them an electric shock.
Ouch!
Works every time, I tell you. Of course, you don't want to do this if somebody happens to be on their phone or maybe working with a computer. I have to warn you, when they get zapped, they could possibly lose all their data, and they wouldn't be very happy about that.
Oh no!
And how about using a magnifying glass to simulate the power of a laser beam? What you do is, you go out into bright sunlight and hold a magnifying glass so it catches the sun's image, and then focus it on something like a leaf or a piece of paper. If you hold it just right, in a matter of seconds, the piece of paper will then burst into flames right before your very eyes. Unlike Star Trek, however, you can't just set your phaser to stun. There's only two settings, you see. Off and flame on. Now here's another interesting bit of weird science. Ever heard of a crystal radio? That's something kids did way back in the early days before the internet. Maybe even before television, in fact.
Really?
Basically, this one involves making a primitive radio receiver which can pull in faraway signals using a simple piece of crystal and some copper wire. I was reminded of this one a number of years ago when I took my young daughter to a radio museum in Hartford, Connecticut. When we were there, the museum tour guide taught us all how to make crystal radios. So the two of us then went home that day and tried making a crystal radio in our basement. Of course, we got a little carried away with the wiring. You see, in our neck of the woods, the radio signals in our neighborhood were so weak, we had to string up a wire antenna almost the entire length of the basement. But I have to confess, it still was pretty lame in the execution. And compared to modern technology like MP3 players or Apple iPods, our crystal radio was more like something out of the Stone Age. It really didn't hold the interest of a modern teenager for very long at all.
Daddy!
And then, of course, there's one of my favorite examples of weird science, and that's kids with chemistry sets. A few of my close friends, you see, had chemistry sets. And to be honest, I always envied them. Their parents, obviously, really knew how to have fun. There's all sorts of stories about kids randomly mixing chemicals together like a mad scientist just to see what would happen. Usually they'd result in some noxious odor like rotten eggs. Of course, where I grew up in New Jersey, if you ever wanted to smell rotten eggs, all you had to do was take a trip out to Newark Bay, you know, down by Jersey City and Bayonne. There must have been a whole bunch of chemical factories out there whose wastewater created the same effect when all those random chemicals started mixing together as they emptied into Newark Bay. You know, my uncle used to tell me stories of how at one time people loved to go down in Newark Bay to go swimming. Can you imagine that? Well, obviously, you can't do that anymore. Unless you want to come out of the water looking like some green-colored, mutant, evolutionary freak of nature. And you wonder how the creature from the Black Lagoon got his start? Well, there's the answer, my friends. Newark Bay.
P.U.
So what did the rest of us kids do if our parents didn't allow us to have a chemistry set? Well, you do what my kid brother did. When our mother wasn't looking, he'd get a whole bunch of soap powder, liquid detergent, cleaning fluids, and other chemical solutions from under the kitchen sink and tried mixing them all together. After those experiments, it's a wonder he still had eyebrows left. Or all 10 fingers on his hands.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Of course, there were those of us who'd go around the day after the 4th of July collecting what looked like unexploded firecrackers and take them home to see if there's any gunpowder left inside. We'd very carefully open up the firecracker and scrape out the black powder, all in hopes of collecting enough of this stuff to make an even bigger bang. The problem usually was, when you're using a penknife to scrape out the powder, very often all it took was that little bit of friction from the penknife to ignite the powder. And then, kaboom! All your hard work went up in smoke. As you can guess, I never managed to scrape together enough gunpowder to do anything worthwhile. So that, my friends, was a wasted afternoon.
Aww.
And then there were those who liked to create explosions of a different kind. You know, friends, this one was always a popular attraction at school science fairs. You've heard of Mount Vesuvius, right? Or Krakatoa, east of Java? Or, more recently, that newly active volcano in the country of Iceland? Well, gang, if you really wanted to get an A in your science fair project, the thing to do was to build one of those miniature volcanoes that actually spews forth something that looks very much like molten lava. But you gotta be very careful, I tell you. One wrong move, and if you mess up when you're mixing the chemicals, you could wind up with the lava overflowing the table and spilling out everywhere all over the classroom. If that happens, forget about getting an A, kid. You might get an E for effort, but wind up totally flunking out of science.
Yeah.
But you know, out of all these examples of weird science, my all-time favorite project is constructing a fake UFO. I heard about this once years ago, way back when I was still a crazy, mischievous, wild-eyed adolescent with too much time to kill and no inkling of what kind of panic this could cause. You see, what you do is, you get some coat hangers, you bend them into the shape of a small kite, and like with a regular kite, you gotta cover this coat hanger frame with some kind of fabric, either newspaper or nylon fabric or dress material, or even better, a large sheet of transparent mylar or cellophane. You know, the kind that you sometimes see wrapped around gift baskets. And then, here's the important part. This is critical, folks. Onto this coat hanger frame, you attach a light. In the old days, they tell you to put a burning candle on the kite. Nowadays, you could probably use something more high-tech, like an extremely bright LED flashlight. Maybe even one that has a blinker setting. And then you wait until it gets dark. And hopefully, there's a strong wind blowing. You launch the kite under cover of darkness. And unlike regular kites, you don't want a string attached. In other words, you don't want anybody tracing this crazy stunt back to you, or you'll be in deep doo-doo with your parents.
That's right.
And so, once this contraption is launched, and it's floating up there in the nighttime sky, blinking away like crazy, there are bound to be some folks around, probably out on their evening stroll, who just happen to look up and mistake it for a UFO. And then, my friends, Your mission has been accomplished.
Oh no! The Martians have landed!
And now it's time to run for the hills! You've been listening to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm Tom Nielsen. See you next time. That is, if the Martians don't get you first. Hi, this is Tom Nielsen. If you enjoyed this podcast, you're invited to hear more of our episodes at A Look Behind and Rewind. And feel free to share our link with friends, family, and others, as well as following us on Buzzsprout.com, Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts.